We've been reflecting for the past couple weeks on stories of God's deliverance and grace through exploring the story of Esther in the Bible. And today we have an opportunity to reflect on that in our own setting. So we're doing Covenant Sunday a little differently this year, but it's still our day of celebration and commitment and reflecting on our stories of God's love and care that we have experienced here. So I think we did something similar last year with, we're going to be reading the covenant aloud together, all those who choose to. But rather than just read through it in one big chunk, we have it split up throughout the service. So it's not the exact order of the covenant, but by the end, we'll have read through the whole covenant together. So it's kind of interspersed at appropriate moments in the service. So let's start by reading the first part together for our call to worship, and it's the part just under call to worship in the bulletin. We commit ourselves to worship God regularly with all our heart and soul and mind. We will allow worship to arise from the depths of the Holy Spirit's work in each of our lives. We offer our worship up as a service to God, to be used by God to reconcile broken lives and a broken world. Back there. We commit our time, our spiritual gifts, and our money to God's work in and through this faith community. We open ourselves to God so we might more and more become a people of mission and giving. Everything that we have is a gift from God, overflowing, and intended to be shared with the Christian community and all those in need. We will continue to seek out and encourage the gifts that all in our fellowship have to offer. The next part of the service, we're going to reprise a few things today that we've done in the past couple weeks, think about them in a new context. So this will actually be the psalm that we read last week when we talked about Esther. Maybe we've read it for 2 weeks. And before that, we're going to read the part of the covenant about our commitment to using the Bible as our guide for living. Now, the psalm, as it appears in here, is from the NIV, and I think it's actually not even the most recent translation of the NIV, but I put it in there because I thought it was interesting. The word for but my ears you have pierced, most translations have but my ears you have opened, and that is one of the meanings of the Hebrew. The other meaning, as I read, talked about how slaves' ears were sometimes pierced as a symbol of servitude to their masters. And so it kind of has that double meaning of being completely surrendered to God and also our ears being open. The other part of this psalm that I thought was interesting reading about it, where he says, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. And we've been talking with Esther about the scroll on which the story of Esther is written and how that is an important part of the Purim celebration. And when we join into God's story, we're kind of part of a much greater scroll, a greater story about God's love, which, as the hymn says, a scroll cannot contain the whole of God's love. So let's read the part from the covenant together. And then when we read the psalm, let's start over here with this side reading the first line, and then this side will read the second line, and we'll go back and forth like that. We commit ourselves to follow Christ's teachings and to use the Bible as our guide for living. We will teach and take Christ's message of healing and hope, reconciliation and peace to all those we live with, work with, and minister to. We believe that there is not a place in our world too dark for the light of Christ's peace to shine. And we'll start the psalm over here. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. It is written about me in the scroll.
I desire to do your will, my God.
Your law is within my heart.
I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly.
I do not seal my lips, Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart.
I speak of your faithfulness.
I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. All right. Rather than have a conventional sermon today, we're going to spend some time in prayer and gratitude, remembering the stories of God's presence that we've experienced here. And we're going to do that by moving to different parts around the building. So I hope by doing that the emphasis is not too much on the actual physical building, although that's part of what we can think about. But also just the different spaces will help us think of different aspects of our life together. So when I was researching the Purim, the sermon that mentioned Purim, according to Wikipedia, there's a tradition in some Jewish communities of having what they call a local or even a personal Purim that celebrates some act of God's deliverance in their lives. So the example they gave was from the West Bank city of Hebron, where back in when it was still under Ottoman rule, the Ottomans were trying to extort money from them and threatening their lives or making some sort of threats if they weren't going to receive this money. And miraculously, a bag of money appeared on a windowsill, and that kind of miracle is, I don't know if it's still celebrated, but was celebrated for many years as a local Purim in Hebron, which just made me think about how we tell our own stories and celebrate them. So what we're going to do is we're going to be in three different places, first in the sanctuary, and then kind of in the kitchen, in the fellowship hall. And then for the third amount of time, you can each pick one of the other rooms to be in. So a Sunday school room, the library, even the bathroom if you want. Preferably a room that where you've spent some time and that might have some meaning to you. I assume the kids are going to want to be in their Sunday school rooms if you've ever taught Sunday school, or if you've been in the nursery, you could pick one of those rooms for during that time. But to start with, we're going to be in the sanctuary, and I'm going to pass out some papers that will help guide our time. Actually, if someone wants to help me pass them out. Is this? I feel like. So I would like to invite you to spread out a little bit, to sit somewhere in the sanctuary where you have a different perspective maybe from usual during worship. There's a stool there, there's the piano bench, there's all along the stage. People who are comfortable sitting on the floor can do that, and there's those chairs. Just want to invite you to find a different perspective visually in the sanctuary than we usually have. And we can take a minute and do that. Make sure that you have your writing utensil with you too, please. Thanks. Okay, we're going to use what's printed on here to kind of guide our time together. And I'll read some of this aloud. God, thank you for this space, for the beauty in it, and the people in it. So you want to take a moment to look around and notice something beautiful in this sanctuary. Notice, which is going to include the faces of the people in it. God, thank you for this space, for the memories in it. And now I'd like to invite you to reflect on memories of worship, prayer, singing, preaching, special services, any memories you have related to worship and how you've experienced God in this space and also beyond it with your Jubilee family. And just take a minute and, if you want to, write some of those memories down. And that could be stuff that's happened this year or stuff that's happened in the past. We've been in this particular space almost 10 years now. And then, of course, we had other histories before that, too. I'm going to move on now to the next part. God, thank you for the space, for the dreams we have for it. And if you want to take a minute and reflect on dreams for how you would like to be part of sharing the story of God's love in this space. Okay, we'll just take a minute and finish up anything you want to add to either of those. Okay, let's read the last line on here together. We'll read it together. God, thank you for this space. We offer our worship to you. And when I wrote the word space, I guess I meant the physical space, but also kind of the emotional space that we inhabit as a community. Okay, let's move on to the next part. And I put kitchen on here, but I think if you want to find a spot in the kitchen or at the tables in the fellowship room, we'll try to stay closer to the kitchen so we can all hear. But Let's go back there and find another space to reflect and pray in. Oh, that must be my originals. Oh, wait. What now? You just turned it over. Okay. We will head now into our time of sharing and prayer. And we'll start that by, if anyone has anything, any memories or stories they would like to share from what we kind of just kind of walked through, I'd invite you to do that now. Dreams for the future are also fine. Hopefully in the next few months, we'll have opportunities to discuss dreams and ideas going forward in more depth. But yeah, if that jogged memories or anything that you're grateful for or want to share, Jake and Charlie have microphones.
I'm Tom Moreland. Did you want us to split it up by location or just share?
No, anything is fine.
All right, in here, I'm just going to go through a few of mine. In here, I remember particularly times we filled this place. That was a couple times when we were saying goodbye to Rhonda or Glenda. But I remember a couple other times, that happier times that we filled this place, like when we had the Venezuelan people here. We had, we had a pretty good crowd when we had the Lucas family sharing their musical gifts with us. I remember a guy, I can't remember where he was from, but he had the little guitar and he did the presentation on the mustard seed. I thought that was a neat time. And I remember a pretty good crowd when we had Tony's son, his band, came and shared with us, and we kind of packed the house for that. I remember a couple times when we had wall busting services here that we had a good crowd as well. Other things for the sanctuary, I just remember Holly putting up her sculpture, and that was a pretty incredible project that will always stand out in my mind. And also I remember the time when we built the big manger, the big stable for the Christmas pageant. That was epic. We filled the entire stage with the stable structure. That was pretty cool. Just a couple of memories I want to highlight. I remember having a good experience when we had a health fair here, and particularly Melinda Reams was part of our congregation at that time. We had Mary Rutan in here doing ultrasonic scans or something, and she found what could have been a life-threatening blockage in her carotid artery, and that was pretty, I don't know, it was striking that somebody, even just to have somebody from our group take away such a significant thing from that event. I remember lots of pancakes being made for blood drives. I remember epic feasts being prepared for funerals and a wedding too. And the last thing was just all the classes that either I've taken part of or led for the kids, just telling all these stories, sharing those stories with our young people through Sunday school and other events, and even a couple Seder meals that we shared with the kids in these classrooms. So those were just some of my memories.
Jordan Morgan. I was thinking about the sanctuary, and I remember a couple of years ago, Wayne built a nativity, a little stable, and did the children's stories for Advent. And I have pictures of that, and the kids brought toys to add to that. And I was thinking about music Sundays with people having performances. And I remember Adam's band. Lori, what's the name of Adam's band? The Goldmine Pickers. We really enjoyed that concert when they were here. And then also Glenda's memorial service was another thing that happened in this space.
I was thinking, what about all the dedications we had for our babies here? Sam was dedicated in Lancaster when we lived there, but the rest of them were here. And I think I've talked about this before, but when Ollie was dedicated, Tony suggested taking him and walking like kind of through the rows of people. And I can't even remember what people said. If it was like a welcoming for him, and it was so moving to me. And at the time, I kind of struggled feeling connected to church. But just walking around and having people, knowing that that was who would take care of us and take care of our children, was really powerful. I was also thinking about a time when Carla did a Maundy Thursday service. And I think it just ended up being our family and you, but we were on the floor in here. And we had like hummus and pita, and there were candles, and it was just really special time to be together in here.
Mama.
Yes. Oh, I also have lots of memories of the playgroup that we had here when our kids were really little, and I'm gonna pick on Ollie, but he was such a crazy toddler, and Tony. Bless his heart. He was always frustrated because we would forget to do something. We wouldn't straighten up the magazines, or a door would be open that was supposed to be closed, or a light would be on that was supposed to be off. And Ollie and Philip one day took bottles of glue and covered the couch with it, the couch in the library, while I don't know what I was doing. I was busy with other kids. Anyway, that was humbling. But I have many happy memories of those years and of other homeschool things that we did here. Okay. Anyone else, any of the kids have anything they'd like to share?
You can read it.
Oh, okay. Rosie remembers Florence giving her a big sack for candy. I'm not sure this is...
A pink sack.
It was... We still have one of Florence's MCC kit sacks.
That was mine.
That she still has. Rosie remembers being a baby in the nursery with Doris and Sunday school in the nursery. That's right. We had Sunday school in the nursery.
I did.
Uh-huh. The flowers and butterflies and cross and the stones. Lots of beautiful things in here, right? Yes.
Sledding down the hill over there.
Oh, sledding, yes. Lots and lots of sledding.
Same
here.
Thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into more sharing. If there's anything you came this morning that you wanted to bring to the group for praise or for lifting up, I invite you to do that now.
Okay. Jerry Rumsey, just an update on Jeff. He texted me this week, and he's still having a bit of a rough time. He said he's getting better in some areas and worse in others, but at the moment he's working through all the paperwork required to apply for disability. And he's still seeing his therapist. I think what he's trying to negotiate emotionally, being actually forced to stop working because of his seizures and his other physical conditions that are causing him so much problem. So I'd like us to remember Jeff, keep remembering Jeff. And Junior said to say hello to everybody. He decided this morning, once we looked at the sidewalks, that it wouldn't be safe for him to come out. And Rose tells me also that he has a bad cough. I didn't hear that when I spoke with him, but yeah, so he might be under the weather. And I keep forgetting to give an update on Abby, who had her breast cancer scans or her follow-up scans in this month, and they were clear. So that was something to be really grateful for. She had the brain scan. Both were clear, yes. The tumor, you might not have been here, Carla. The tumor hadn't grown any. He said it would have to come out at some stage, but not right away.
Anybody else?
Just want to share, Emanuel has a swim meet today. It's the CBC Championships in Wittenberg University at in Springfield. And Annabelle and Anwar are in Cincinnati. They went down yesterday and were visiting the Museum of Art. And I think today they were hoping to go to a sign museum and the Krohn Conservatory. So they were just able to get away for a night. And the text I had last night from Annabelle said that the art museum was magnificent. So prayers for safe travel on her way back.
Yeah, I could add that Sam just left to go to the Honors District Band, which has their concert this afternoon that we're looking forward to.
Thank everybody for their prayers and support during my absence here. It's good to be back. I just want to say that I'm glad that I was able to spend that time with my father to show him, you know, that we loved him and we were there for him, my brother and I, and we had so much love and support from the place where my dad was at and from my other family members there in Colorado. And it was just such a beautiful passing when my father passed, because I didn't expect it to happen the way it did. And my brother prayed with him, and I left, and I got a call. My brother said, you need to come back. And he said he prayed the sinner's prayer with him, and he took two breaths and he was gone. He just passed so peacefully. And while I was leaving during that time and I was driving, I was praying for God to please to give him peace. So I feel that God answered our prayers, and my dad's not suffering anymore. And I'm so glad. The service was wonderful, and just the support was so great. It's good to be back, and I'm glad to get back to normalcy. And I was back to work, Special Olympics this weekend. We went to Cincinnati Friday, came back yesterday. So I had a good time. But I just want to ask for prayers also. My Aunt Teresa in Colorado, she's in a nursing home now, but she's still battling with her kidney disease. She had to have a blood transfusion while I was there, and she's still just really weak. She's trying really, really hard to get stronger. And then also my niece, Antoinette, they did find that she has stage 2 cancer, a cervical cancer, and she will be starting treatment this week. And I'm going to be going to see her after church this afternoon. But just ask for peace for her and just for support, that, you know, let her know that, you know, God is there with her, and to lay, you know, pray for the doctors that are helping her, she'll be fine.
Okay, let's read together the section of the covenant that talks about prayer under the stories of gratitude, prayers of blessing, and then we'll pray for the concerns mentioned here. We commit to being a people of prayer. In all things, we acknowledge that it is God's Spirit that strengthens us, God's Spirit that heals us, God's Spirit that forgives us, and God's Spirit that creates the intimacy of Christian fellowship. Above all, it is God's love in Christ Jesus that makes this covenant community possible. Your mama's gonna pray. God, thank you so much for the memories that the space holds, for the love that has been experienced here, and because we're human, not all of our memories are positive, and we pray for healing, for anything that needs healing. We think of Jeff this week and Junior dealing with possible health struggles. Thank you for Abby's clear scans, and we thank you so much that Rose was able to spend the time with her family, that her father's passing was peaceful, and we pray for ongoing surrounding of her and her family with your love and your presence and peace, including her niece Antoinette and her Aunt Teresa. Thank you that Emanuel and Sam have the opportunity today to do things they enjoy, swimming and music, and thank you that Annabelle and Anwar can spend some time together in Cincinnati, and we pray that you'll be with us for the rest of our time together. Amen. All right, we are going to sing number 44 from Sing the Journey, The Love of God. And Sam is not here to play bass today, but Tom's going to play guitar.
Sing the Journey, number 44. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches
now join in several rituals. Not yet, though. Please put those back. You can have a seat. We are going to do as we have done for many years. Invite you to come up and choose a flower, but not yet. Wayne will have juice and cracker, or grapes and crackers for the kids, and the adults are invited to, well, everyone's invited to put their flower into the vase, and then there'll be communion here. There's some smaller cups of juice for those who prefer that, or you may dip the bread into the juice in the big chalice there. And then return to your seats afterwards. So, oh, and then after the service, everyone is invited to add their handprint to a banner. Yes, sure.
So I have paint, different colors of paint in sponges in containers out here, so you can press your hand in like you would like a rubber stamp, and then put your hand on the paper. You have to press, like, I tried it, so that's why I know. Press like you're pushing a stamp and you're trying to get all of your fingers to touch. And then take yourself straight to the bathroom and wash your hands. We'll prop the doors open. If you're worried about staining, it does, I had paint under my fingernails last night and it's gone today, so it will wash off, but the red particularly I noticed sort of stuck with me for a while, so if you're hoping for like pretty fingernails, maybe don't do red. So, but there are multiple colors and I'll go out and we can do that before the meal. Or?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, try to do that before the meal. And if you want to sign your name under your handprint, that also would be fun. So maybe if you're right-handed, do your left-hand print and so you can hold the pen with your right hand.
Smart. Very smart. All right. Those, if you're helping with communion, you can.
The communion passage I'm reading from is from Luke. I like it. It's short, it's sweet, it says what it's about, and doesn't belabor it, it just presents it for what it is. He took a cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Because from now on I tell you, I will not drink wine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took some bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, saying, this is my body. It will be given for you. Do this as a memorial of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which I will pour out for you. It is our privilege to remember what Jesus has done for us.
Okay, let's stand and we will read the final part of the covenant on here. Let's turn and face each other as we read it and as we sing our final song. I'm going to look straight forward, but everybody else can turn and face the other side. Just turn. Let's face each other. Yes, there we go. We commit ourselves to actively lead others to a life of following Christ, and we will invite all those without a Christian fellowship to join our family of faith. We understand that more than anything else in the world, people need to experience God's love and acceptance, forgiveness and reconciliation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the very best news the human heart will ever hear. We commit ourselves to love and care for one another, no matter what our differences may be. We want to be a Christ-centered fellowship where everyone is welcomed and everyone is loved, just as Christ welcomed and loved all the suffering, the sinners, the outcasts. So let's stay facing each other and we can sing number 430 from the hymnal.
Let's sing the first two verses.
God, thank you for the food we're about to share. May we experience and share the story of your love as we go about our week. Amen.